welcome back to Back in My Play. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and we have a very special report for you guys this week. Just incredible news coming out, and we just needed to cover the 2017 console race, and that is starring the Nintendo Switch. We now have the official name for the new Nintendo hardware, and I have my Nintendo correspondent, CJ Chris Johnston of the Player One podcast. CJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
I think I've been watching too much CNN over the last couple of weeks. Like, I think it's almost like I start looking at the people that I have on the show, and I do have like my Castlevania correspondent Kirk Collider, like my Konami correspondent, and then Sega, which is Greg, and Mega Man, which is like Phil and Mohammed Tahir, and of course you. Whenever it's any kind of Nintendo stuff, we got to get you on because you guys are the foremost experts in those fields.
But I'm proud to be your Nintendo expert. This is good.
Yeah, for sure. So, and this is really cool because one of the reasons why I wanted to specifically wanted to have you on here is because I personally have been not like down on like the hype, but I've just been like, I don't really care. Like, I'm just gonna wait until everything like comes out, and I don't know. I'm just like not like really excited, but as a fan of Nintendo, as a owner of every single amiibo that's out, is that accurate?
No, God, no.
Okay, sorry.
I have a large amiibo collection, but it is nowhere near all of them.
Okay, well, in any case, as someone that was excited for this, it's going to be good to talk to you. So, yeah. We're going to break this thing down for you guys, and we actually did get a bunch of questions from people on Twitter that they wanted to hear us talk about some of those things as well. But if you're somehow been under a rock, the video went up this morning. We're talking on Thursday, October 20th, and went up at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, it was 10.
10 a.m. Sorry, already had a mistake. Well, see, that we had Red Dead Redemption, or Red Dead Redemption 2 today, so it's been a very busy day for video
That's
games.
True.
Man, it's been crazy. But we had a little bit over a three-minute video that popped up on Nintendo's YouTube page, and like even Nintendo.com was obviously getting slammed. Like, that was down. But luckily, Google has the best servers in the world, and that was still up. And we got a three-minute video that opened up with a guy playing the new Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on the couch, and just looks like he was playing that game, and eventually he needs to leave. He has to go on a trip. So he gets up off the couch, and he takes his what we now know as Joy-Cons off the Joy-Con controller grip, and then slides them onto the console itself, which is in the Nintendo Switch dock, and then takes it to the airport.
We had the guy with the dog, right? It was first the guy with the dog, then the guy at the airplane.
Okay. That's true. Okay,
I watched the video four or five times at this point, and it's only Thursday night.
Well, I imagine I'll
watch a lot more.
We'll get in a couple more viewings. But yeah, you're totally right. And actually, this is, even before getting into all that, like an incredibly well-produced video, like very, very well done.
It actually kind of evokes the memory of the original Wii introduction. I don't know if you remember that.
Hell
where
yes.
They had the images of people playing the games. They didn't even really show the games, but they showed a lot of people having fun with the Wii remote. And then, to a certain extent, the Wii U reveal did the same thing, only they made the mistake of never showing the console, and the messaging just wasn't very clear on that. Mm-hmm. But in this video, and with the original Wii video, I think the messaging was very, very clear.
Yeah, like
on how you're going to use that thing.
You're 100% correct. Like I love this presentation. And as you said, he has a gigantic dog. He goes to the airport. He bumps into a woman that's also using a Nintendo Switch, like so many other people will be using at the airport. And he gets on his flight and he does the thing. Like, that was kind of like a weird thing with the Wii U. We saw people taking it on, like the Shinkansen, like taking it on the train going down to Kyoto. Some people bringing it on the airplane. I remember listening to like the Giant Bomb Game of the Year stuff where Patrick Klepek brought his on the plane to play. I think it was Bayonetta 2 on a flight. And now with the Nintendo Switch, he can pull it out of his bag. He can place the console, which also has a – it has that 7-inch screen that we talked about previously on it. And it has a kickstand with a headphone jack. And then the Joy-Cons slide back out of the side of the console. And you can hold them freely separately, very much like we saw from the Eurogamer leaks. Like, those were rock solid. Their leaks were spot on. And –
yeah, what did you think of the plane ride in particular, with propping it up on the tray table and using the two Joy-Cons sort of at his side? They're like resting on his legs, I think, as he played.
I think that's like just like what we did with the Wii, right? Except we don't have a cable in between, and I think it will be fine. Like, it's going to be fine for the — I mean, that screen's big. I don't know how heavy the console is. You might not want to hold on to it like you would a 3DS or a Vita or something like that. So, yeah. Propping it up. Plus, this is something that I want to get to kind of towards the end, but the possibilities for also... I think the kickstand's awesome. I think that is...
Yeah.
Like, I'm so amazed at how much I'm in love with this thing because I had such low expectations and just like... Like, I knew Nintendo had to hit it out of the park, but the implications of having this kickstand and the social aspect of it, we'll definitely talk about. But yeah, I think, you know, looking at it, it's basically if you just like ripped off the sides of a 3DS, a new 3DS, but yep. It has better sticks, and you have the triggers on the back, which are nice, and it also has the triggers on the top, which are nice. So it is basically like the new 3DS, but instead of having nubs and a slide pad or whatever it's called, circle pad, you get, you know, real sticks. I actually think it looks really cool.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed when he first disconnects the Joy-Con grip device. Mm-hmm. And then slides the Joy-Cons onto the Switch, and then pulls the system out of the dock. It immediately switches to the portable. It's like it's almost as if a Switch has been flipped. It immediately goes to the portable. It's seamless, and I love that. And they show that also with the woman later on in the video who's playing the Mario game, does the same thing, and it's seamless. She just picks it up and it immediately switches to the portable screen. And that's amazing to me because we have been using remote play or even off TV play. And it's not a seamless experience in either of those situations. Like, remote play takes a lot of setup and there's lag and you have to be in a Wi-Fi spot. And even switching on the Wii U to off TV play, you usually have to do some kind of button combination, usually the minus button. But this seems totally easy.
Yeah, I think that you're 100% right. They nailed that transition. I actually have the video in front of me right now. So yeah, they basically have like a — if you haven't seen the video, you should probably go check it out first. Mm-hmm. But they do have like what is kind of a dock for the controller itself, which — This is cool, and this is something that I haven't seen talked about a lot because, you know, the — obviously those individual — you have a left Joy-Con and a right Joy-Con. Those both have to individually have batteries in them. Plus, that Switch controller base could also have an additional battery in it for like very extended playtime.
When the pieces are in that grip, there's like a power light on the side. Oh. So it's like a green light. So I wonder if the grip actually has power on its own and is going to charge the left and right sticks as you play at home. And then when you're ready to take it on the go and you want to disconnect it from the Switch's screen, then they'll be all charged up. You don't have to worry about doing anything else.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think I think it's going to be almost like the Apple EarPods. Like, mm-hmm. that is going to be like its case almost. And even when it hooks up to the Switch itself, you know, it could be starting to charge up. Like, those batteries cannot be very big in those controllers
right.
to just charge them up enough. So then if you want to, you can always disconnect them from the Switch and prop it up with the kickstand and continue to play. We're literally, by the way, 42 seconds into this video.
And before the video came out, you remember, and a lot of people on the internet thought, oh my God, 3 minutes, that's no time at all. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a ton of stuff to talk about.
There's so much stuff.
None of it is games. None of it is actual games, really.
Well, a lot of it is
features of the hardware itself. Yeah, well, I guess you're right. It kind of goes into games too.
Well, there was, I mean, I don't know if it is official. People are saying it's Skyrim, but he gets on the plane and then he seems to be playing Skyrim.
It is Skyrim.
Okay, yeah. That's confirmed. Okay.
Well, there's a copyright notice at the end of the video for Skyrim. And then Bethesda did say, well, yeah, it's in that video, but we haven't announced. We have not announced Skyrim for the Switch. So there you have that.
I was really surprised they couldn't like make it official by the time they had this video come out. But that's really cool. It also tells us a little bit about the power of the hardware, and that's something that we'll get into at the end. But it is obviously, you know, in that realm of Xbox One-ish, maybe a little bit, you know, probably a little bit weaker. And, you know, we can speculate on all that stuff. But, you know, he goes on the plane and then he seems to get to his second apartment what seems to be a second apartment, and then just docks it back into the Switch dock and goes back to playing Skyrim on a big screen TV. The next scene is a bunch of people getting into a Volkswagen van and basically propping up the. It's still so. It's like, I guess it was like with the Wii or the Wii U. It's there. They're propping up the Switch and they.
Yeah. It seems like it's a holder. It's like a harness for seat, really.
Well, it's like, I'm sure, you know, many people have them for the, like those LCD screens for their kids. Like they put them in the back seat or whatever.
Yep.
But this is like coming off of, it looks like it's attached to the back headrest and very much like they make those cell phone tripod things that will just like grab your cell phone so you can put it in a tripod. Like it could be something similar to that. But anyways, the cool part is that once they do this, they take the left Joy-Con, the right Joy-Con, they have two separate controllers now. So two people can be playing, you know, more simply controlled games like Mario Kart that does not need two joysticks. So they're playing split screen Mario Kart on this thing. And it is a new Mario Kart game, it looks like, because they have the ability to have two items at once.
Right. The track that's shown, I think, was part of a DLC download for Mario Kart 8. And then there's the two items thing as well. Mm-hmm. And King Boo is one of the drivers who is not in Mario Kart 8.
You got it. Yeah, it was the Yoshi circuit from the GameCube version of Mario Kart Double Dash. So, you know, they're playing Mario Kart, and then they go and actually drive go-karts, you know, social. That's fun. I mean, that's what people do.
Once you played the game, you wanna do it for real, right?
I mean, nah, I just keep playing Mario Kart. That's, you know, go-karts expensive. And then, you know, again, another social. And this is a big thing that I want to talk about towards, you know, later on, but, you know, talking about the social aspect, go to a basketball court, play a little bit of basketball, but then you pull out your Nintendo Switch and you can actually have four people playing, you know, doing multiplayer, having this, you know, two Switches sync up to each other locally, very much like we have had with portable consoles in the past. But then again, this is something I wouldn't necessarily think about, but, you know, a game like NBA 2K, whatever it is, 17 now, that doesn't really need dual joysticks because the camera is fixed. So I know there are some abilities that are on that second joystick, but maybe you could play a more arcadey version of an NBA 2K through the Nintendo Switch, and you can have four people playing at once.
Yep.
So again, just kind of like reiterating the social aspects and how easy it is to link. And as you mentioned, the woman who was playing her And by the way, these people all have incredible homes. Yeah, that's something I noticed. Like, their designers are outstanding.
Yeah. On the basketball thing, you know, the ease of multiplayer with this thing. I wonder, like, what the setup's like, really. But it seems like that's kind of a thing that they want people to do with the Switch.
I love. I'm so excited about that, just because of how many great Nintendo games, and even especially if I'm sure we'll talk about this, but Virtual Console stuff. Mm-hmm, if you know, you can just bring this thing over to a friend's house. You don't need to hook it up to the TV. You can bring it to. You know, you're going out for beers, you know, bring it along and you guys can be playing Mario Kart in between like rounds and stuff like that. Like that is that's really outstanding.
I do wonder also, so they did the basketball game. Is that did they have two copies of the game or did they do like a download play type thing where they both had Switches?
That's a great question.
They didn't have two copies of the game.
I wonder that's a great point to bring up because you know, potentially this thing could do something like what remote play is or like what the Wii U gamepad did, which is transmit the picture to another device and not need
that'd be interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Because they have that technology. They've perfected it with the Wii U. Like it works perfect. And if they just said, all right, well, if CJ, you and I, we both have a Nintendo Switch, you have a copy of Mario Kart, but I want my own screen. Can I have my Switch next to yours, but we're both playing your game, but we can both have our own screens?
Right.
That should happen, I would think.
I think, well, that is, they show Splatoon later.
Right.
That exactly. is what is happening.
But before that, we go to another woman's apartment who is, she's checking out a brand new 3D Super Mario game, which seems to be taking place in the Guacamelee world, or like Mexico. Like it definitely has like the colors and the feel of, you know, if you've ever played Guacamelee, but taking place in, you know, a new world where Mario is still jumping around, but it is. Seems to be, I don't know, like this is really tough. Like it's, we have like 5 seconds of footage of this 3D Mario game, but it seems to look really good. It seems to focus on single player because she was playing with herself. And I'm trying to make sure I'm going to fast forward a little bit. You watched this a bunch of times.
I have.
Did they end up, was that Mario game? Was that being played by two players? Did they were playing?
So
Mario?
They don't show the screen when two players are playing. But the insinuation there is that she took the Mario game over to the party and then got two players playing simultaneously.
Okay, so potentially it could be like a Super Mario 3D World 2 or something along those
could
lines.
Be.
But
I did hear some talk. So the camera angle, people were saying, oh, it's more like a Mario Galaxy style instead of the sort of zoomed out 3D World style. I don't know if that actually means anything or if that means that we're not going to have a multiplayer focused 3D Mario game. But it was certainly an interesting look to the game.
Yeah, it is. God, it just looks so Nintendo, which is like the best possible thing I can say about it is that it looks so Nintendo in terms of like the color palette. And it's just amazing how somehow Nintendo just has like the best looking water in their in their Mario games. What the tech that they continue to, you know, reiterate on from Sunshine, obviously. Yep. But yeah, she pops the Joy-Cons. Joy-Cons into it. And, then she is continuing, like you said, you put in the Joy-Cons into the Switch itself. It automatically switches the picture to the display on the device. And then she takes that with her to the party, on the rooftop across the street. Again, very, you know, these people are doing very well for themselves. But then you go to kind of an open room where there's four people that are strategizing for a game of Splatoon, and they all have their own Nintendo Switch consoles, and they're drawing out like their strategies, and then they show, this is the one spot where we get to see the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller.
Yes.
This
is actually, I think, the second time we see the Pro Controller, because the guy who's playing Skyrim used it as well.
Yeah, that's right. When he went back to that second apartment that he seems to... Who are these people? He has a second apartment, but...
I know. I think those are two different guys. You're thinking of two different guys. The guy who was walking the dog is the first guy, and then the guy who was on the trip is the second guy.
Okay, I thought that was the same. See, sorry. They all look the same to me.
It's true.
But they're in a gigantic stadium filled with people for a Splatoon event, and... Yeah, people are freaking out, and we get the date coming March 2017. I'm so happy to be wrong about that. And it wasn't baseless. Yeah. It's one of the few things that actually had people saying, we've been hearing, this thing isn't going to be ready. They're going to shoot for fall, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great that they're actually going to make March, and I'm actually really happy that the time between announcement and release is so short.
Super
because
short.
The news cycle on the internet is extremely short, and mm-hmm. they sort of risk losing people over a long period of time if they had gone too long from announcement to release. And I think that is sort of partly what happened with the Wii U, but I mean, the Wii U had plenty of other problems. But once people are tired of hearing about it, they sort of shut off and don't want to hear any more news about it. So when it's so close, I think people will be able to stay excited about it.
Phil, for sure. I totally agree on that. So in that video itself, we got to see not only more footage of Zelda, we got to see new 3D Mario, we got to see what could potentially be a new Mario Kart, and potentially either a port or a split TWON or whatever they're going to call it. And we got to see the console itself. We got to see the dock. We got to see the two Joy-Cons. We got to see the Joy-Con grip. We got to see the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller, the kickstand ability. We got to see the Larrabee lock of it running on game carts, which is...
Yes.
Which was obvious. I feel like it was one of the most obvious things. The PSP had some problems, folks. And CJ is definitely in the all digital future. It's still a little bit early for some of us, and for the people who live in remote areas of internet, or when Comcast doesn't work, that's also a problem.
Yes,
like tonight. we also know a little bit more about the hardware. NVIDIA confirmed that it is running a Tegra chip, which, if you haven't checked out a lot of mobile stuff in the past, it is a combination of CPU and GPU. These are actually very capable co-processors. These are really, really great chips, and NVIDIA is by far leading the way. Qualcomm does some chips as well, but the NVIDIA Tegra chip is by far the best out there, which is really good because it shows us that it has really good graphical capabilities, plus it's going to be really good on power management. I believe these are 14 nanometer chips, so they're very power efficient. And we talked a little bit about the controllers. I definitely want to get into some predictions, because we still we saw a lot today, but we still don't know everything.
It's true.
I think for us, we obviously know the confirmation of Zelda being a launch title. We don't know if Mario is going to be a launch title, but I guess we'll talk about that in a second, because I want to talk a little bit about what you expect for the operating system, like the OS, the thing that's going to run on top of this stuff. How much do you think it's going to be like a tablet? Because we didn't see any touch control or actual capacitive touchscreen ability from this video.
Yeah, I think that was a really interesting move, because when the Wii U got announced, all people could talk about was, oh, it's a tablet, and oh, I have an iPad. Why do I need this? It's just a tablet. and they sort of dismissed its game playing abilities. Mm-hmm. And I think that hurt the Wii U in a lot of ways, where people didn't think they needed it because they already had a tablet. So I think it was smart for Nintendo not to show any touchscreen abilities if it has it. And I think it is rumored that it is a multi-touch screen. They didn't show any of that. I think it'll probably be similar to the Wii U's setup, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if it's running like a variant of Android in terms of operating system-wise, but probably heavily customized. I can't wait to try the thing out. I hope it has text entry, because for me, one of the really important parts of the Nintendo experience now is Miiverse. And I know a lot of people, some people don't even use it. I use Miiverse a lot to post screenshots and questions about games. If I get stuck in something, I'll post on Miiverse instead of looking it up on the internet. And usually you get an answer pretty quick. So I like those aspects. I definitely want to know more about whether this thing has Street Pass, because that's another aspect of the 3DS that I really, really enjoy. And I think it could be awesome, if they evolve that even more. So those are the things I'm excited about. I don't really care if it has a Twitter client or Amazon Instant Video or Hulu or anything like that. Although those would be nice additions too. You have like 14
other boxes that do that. So
exactly, yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be nice if it did that in some way too. But I'm not particularly interested in that part of it. But yeah.
Well, we got this is actually somewhat breaking news. We're getting some more information about the unit itself. This is coming from Nintendo PR that the main function of the Nintendo Switch dock is to provide an output to the TV as well as charging and provide power to the system. They continue to say the quote, "The dock is not the main console unit of the Nintendo Switch, obviously. The main unit of the Nintendo Switch is the unit that has the LCD screen."
Yeah,
which is, you know, good. Which the two Joy-Con controllers can be attached to and detached from. The main function of the Nintendo Switch dock is to provide an output to the TV as well as charging and providing power to the system. So that was one of the questions that I had, is there some extra juice in that dock that allows the console itself to have an even better graphical performance, or, you know, it allow whatever it is, like the – we thought – from the rumors, like it's a 720p screen on the unit itself. Maybe there's some extra, you know, horsepower in the dock itself to help it upscale to 1080p or 4K or whatever. But it seems like it is literally just, you know, a video out, a charging station, and that's it, which is fine.
I like that you mentioned 4K as if a Nintendo system is going to output 4K. Right. Let's baby steps here, Kevin.
I'm only curious because it would definitely tell you like where they're coming from with this and what they're concerned about in terms of a marketing standpoint, because that was just absolutely one of the questions that I had. Also, there are some rumors about the dev kit itself, which really means nothing. Like, the dev kit does not mean much at all, because as we know from previous histories of dev kits, they usually have even more RAM. They have the storage really doesn't matter so much, and some of its capabilities are not necessarily what is going to be in the actual hardware, because they are just going to have it in there for, development purposes. So along with all this stuff, we have a couple other pieces that I think are important to talk about. One, do you think that they're going to sell multiple docks? Because maybe this is only something that I thought of because of that, thinking that was the same guy. But I'm thinking of like a household, if you have a bunch of TVs, like if the dock is really only that, if there's just basically the... Like it's like a dongle on the bottom, and then it has an HDMI out and a power out. Maybe those can be cheap enough where you can have, you know, a second one to hook up to another TV.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Like bring your, you know, Switch from your living room to your office, and then you can bring it back when you want to, you know, go back to the big TV and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting idea. I don't know that they have to do that at launch, but maybe if it's like something that they could provide down the road. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the system itself is rather complex. Like they really showed it in so many different configurations in this little 3-minute video that I wonder if like offering like additional docks is almost like too much or like over the top. Mm-hmm. Not that they never would do that, but
or maybe just like at Nintendo.com.
Yeah, you could order one direct from Nintendo's store, online store or something. Yeah.
Let's see. What else? You mentioned, we talked about the OS stuff. I think that makes a lot of sense that you're mentioning, you know, just a heavily customized version of Android as we've seen. Like, I'm an Android user now. I'm sorry. But the it is actually really impressive after I tried a bunch of phones to see how different the, you know, Android can be from device to device. Like even sure. Amazon Fire's tablets use a heavily customized version of that, and it's really more or less a wrapper that is very lightweight. That would be good because you mentioned Miiverse, and I think, you know, this has definitely been improved throughout the years of the Wii U, but, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't use it a ton is it because it was so slow to get into. It wasn't very quick.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And that's even something like the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 have, like jumping between stuff isn't super snappy, which can be improved. And hopefully Nintendo is putting a heavy emphasis on that.
Yeah, I actually hope that Nintendo is focusing on the user experience of the Switch. And I think we get a couple of hints in this video. And one is when you remove the Switch from the dock, it instantly switches to that portable screen. Mm-hmm. That looks awesome. But, you know, things that have started to become annoyances, like installing games and installing patches, like those have become annoyances on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And if the experience is just a lot smoother on the Switch, I think that'll go a long way into, you know, convincing people that it's worth a shot. So
yeah, I think, and you brought up, are you just kind of made me think of another thing. We don't obviously know what like the internal storage is. It's obviously going to be some kind of flash storage on there. These games look like they're going to be relatively big. You know, we're going to be talking maybe if we are comparing to Wii U games, like 8, 10, 15 gigs, something like that. You get into the territory of Xenoblade even more. But it looks like, and Nintendo is really good at this. They're not like Sony. They don't have a proprietary memory card BS system like that. So hopefully, you know, what we'll get in there is like a micro SD card, which like I bought a 128 gigabyte micro SD card for $40 the other day. Like they're really,
oh, yeah,
really
super cheap now. Yeah. And it'll only get better, honestly. Like if memory prices continue to fall and we get bigger and bigger sizes, I mean, that'll just be excellent. And Nintendo has generally used standard memory because mm-hmm. you can plug a hard drive into the Wii U and you can use SD cards with the 3DS. And I think, did the DS have cards like that? Maybe it was just the 3DS.
Yes, the DSi had SD card support.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, hopefully they'll continue that and it'll be easy to, you know, swap that out or expand. I guess we'll find out. But I'm ready to. I'm sure it'll come with like a really small SD card, and then you can upgrade if you want, just kind of like the 3DS does. I think the 3DS mm-hmm. still comes with a 4 or 8 gig card, and it would be great to, you know, since I'm all digital on 3DS and Wii U, to stay digital on the Switch and you know, get a 128 gig card and not have to worry about anything. The beautiful future.
I was gonna say that reminded me. Ethan is incredibly excited about this purchase. I'm sure he's gonna have a complete collection of Nintendo Switch games as the last hardware to ever have game cards.
Well, an interesting thing there, you know, talking about Ethan, I think he's also on the Player One podcast, by the way, and he has talked about buying multiple Switches or NXs for his kids. And that's another interesting aspect that I wonder if you can have multiple switches in a household and use just one dock, or like how, if you would be able to have a family account and share digital purchases, because that is sort of a bone of contention amongst people who have multiple kids and 3DSs, like buying digitally, you have to buy multiple copies. Even to, you know, use a physical version, you have to buy multiple copies. But it would be a fantastic convenience to have like a shared family pool of digital content.
Well, that's almost like the more exciting thing that has yet to drop, is like, what's Nintendo's strategy for account systems and for digital deliveries? And, you know, do they go to that Apple, you know, ecosystem route where, you know, you can have a family account, excuse me, a family like account system where you can share all this stuff between, you know, up to 5 devices, or maybe they'll make it up to 3 devices in a household or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be able to do that and make sure it continues to be as simple as Nintendo usually makes this stuff? And that was something that was brought up to me on Twitter when I was mentioning, like, oh, check this out. What do you guys think the price is going to be? A lot of people were saying like $300, but also Michigan Gaijin said, you know, it could be a problem. She said, my only problem is that I technically have to buy 2 full price systems for 2 people in the house.
Yeah.
Because it's, and this is not going to be, and I think some people forget, like the 3DS was $250. Like that was expensive.
But it didn't do well at $250.
Totally right. Maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but since we're bringing it up right now, actually, I want to talk about this first, and then we can talk about the price, because I want to ask you, and there's actually, I'm going to talk about, we'll get to questions and stuff like that at the end, but and we'll talk about Virtual Console later, but I think this is a good point to bring this up. What do you think is going to be, like, day one, what do you think is going to be in the launch edition of the Nintendo Switch? What is their, like, are they going to have 2 versions? Are they going to have like a $299 and a $349 like they did for the Wii U? Do you think they're going to do like a what kind of bundle do you think they'll have?
I honestly think they'll do 1 SKU of hardware.
Keep it that, simple.
Yeah, keep it very simple. Have it be, you know, the Switch unit itself, the Switch dock, and maybe the Switch grip. Mm-hmm. Because I think those are the things that have been pictured together most often. And they won't have, I don't think they'll have multiple configurations. I think they will do the, like the 4 gig card installed, mm-hmm. and then you'll be able to upgrade the storage if you want, if you're somebody like me who's all digital, or you'll just buy cartridges or game cards and you'll be ready to go. That's pretty much everything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll sell the Pro Controller separately, you know, for $40 or $50, and that'll be that.
Are we getting what's the game that's coming in the box, or is that game not even announced yet?
I don't know if they'll do a game in the box. Do you think they'll do a pack-in? Or I guess they did for the Wii.
I bet they will. Okay, this is my prediction. I could be like super, super off, but I think, and maybe this is part. Well, I mean this is totally out of my ass, but I think they need something that is at least a 2-player game, something that you can break the controllers out and play with 2 players.
I think you're going to say the same game I am. Go ahead.
I was going to say we don't know if there's motion in those controllers, but. I was actually going to say like almost like an NES Remix 3.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm thinking they do Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mario, like, that would sell a shit ton of, a crap ton of copies, but I try not to spoil the show.
Well, especially too, if the Mario Kart that we saw in the video is basically an enhanced version of Mario Kart 8.
Right.
A lot of people who bought Wii U's have Mario Kart 8 and probably won't be excited to plunk down more money and buy another copy of that. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a great idea to use that as a pack-in, especially since so many people love Mario Kart. And I knew so many people when the Wii U version came out, when Mario Kart 8 came out, they bought Wii U's.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I think it'd be great if that was a pack-in. I could definitely see that.
That sounds like the best pack-in. That sounds like it almost makes too much sense that they probably won't do it. Because you're totally right. I think it's been funny, or it's been fun to track the impact that Pokemon Go has had on Nintendo sales. Like, we just saw, like, in the last hour or something, the NPDs came out for this month, and again, there's been an increased number in 3DS sales year over year, which is nuts for a console that, you know, is coming towards the end of life. And that is something that I think they can kind of cash in on. I think Nintendo is really hot again. People really want this stuff. We're seeing those Nintendo Entertainment Classic systems sell out. The pre-orders are gone.
You know what'll be really smart for Nintendo to do this holiday is with the NES Classic Mini, put a brochure in there for the Switch.
Bet your ass, yeah.
Or, like, I don't even know if they would, like, put a demo movie on the NES Classic, but, like, something where, like, use that sales, because you know Nintendo fans or even lapsed gamers are going to buy that thing, mm-hmm. and you want to message the Switch to them as hard as possible.
You remember all those, like, awesome pamphlets we used to get with our hardware and our games on, like, the Super Nintendo and N64 and even the NES, like, talking about, like, even later NES games? I remember, I think they had, like, Super Nintendo, like, kind of brochures or, like, posters packed in with the games to say, like, hey, there's this other thing. It's called the Super Nintendo. Look at all these games that are on it. Hey, put this poster on your wall and tell your parents about it.
Exactly.
Or make a fake newsletter and get a bunch of Super Nintendo stuff sent to your door.
Man. Yeah. I also thought it was interesting that basically all of the people in this video were, as you were alluding to before, well-to-do, potentially.
I wasn't going to say like hipsters, but they kind of look like hipsters.
Yeah. They're the kind of people who could afford, you know, a Nintendo system like the Switch. You may as well... Market the Switch heavily to them, and then of course, you know, kids and parents will follow. But I thought it was very smart the way that they even set up this video and all the different settings they used.
One of the things that I wrote down is I thought it was very fascinating that it was a very Western video. Like, it was, you know, basically, like, you didn't see any, we weren't like hanging out in Shinjuku and playing a bunch of Monster Hunter on this thing. You were on the rooftops of a San Francisco apartment building, and you were at a basketball court, and you were at a, you know, maybe you could say like it's a, like an esports stadium or something like that. But, you know, one of my thoughts was like, Nintendo's going to do really good in Japan, no matter what, you know, for the most part. But this is definitely speaking much more to the Western market that may have forgotten about Nintendo. And
yeah.
Is showing them, like, okay, yeah, you're not going to be taking a train to work every day. You're not going to be in a jam-packed city skyscraper structure all the time. You might be a little bit more spread out, but that's okay, because you can take this thing whenever you meet up with friends, and it's a social thing. It's not just a street pass thing. It's not just a thing that you play on the, you know, on the train ride into work or something like that. That was really, I think it was really smart of them. Really, really smart. I think... I don't even know, like, if I was put in this position, what I would have changed from what they have done today. They really hit it out of the park, and they just have everyone talking about it. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, I think it was really smart. I think I heard it was filmed in Vancouver, but really high budget. I mean, it just really, like, looks great. And, I'm super excited. I was gonna be excited anyway because I'm a huge Nintendo fan, but I think it exceeded my expectations. I had this moment on my drive into work this morning where I was like, man, wouldn't it really suck if the NX was like the home console, and then when you disconnected it played, you know, smaller mobile games, like you didn't actually play like the full version.
Right.
Game, like I had this horrible dread Like, what if that is the thing? Like, because that would be so lame and so disappointing to me. And I was so happy when, you know, it's not going to be that. So
yeah, I think that was even something like I was worrying about when I think it was Ethan that brought it up on your show, Player One Podcast, where like you were saying, like, oh, it's probably going to have a bunch of mobile games. I'm like, no, yeah, that's like the complete wrong thing to do. People have phones, they have iPads, they don't right, need it for that. But you know,
it could do that in addition to
exactly.
Like, can if it plays Super Mario Run also, or you know, Miitomo also, then that's fine. But I'm so happy that it plays the full versions.
Well, don't worry. They also had the, you know, they had that screenshot of all the logos of companies that are working on games. And yeah, don't worry, because they also had the logo for, what's their faces? The hamster, the monster, and Gung Ho. Like, they have all the like mobile game companies, so you'll be able to play
Sweet.
Your. What is it called? Puzzle and Dragons and all that stuff, all the big Japanese mobile games, no problem. maybe this is something that we should mention, because, you know, just why I have this thing in front of me, like, there is a really good lineup of developers and publishers on this thing, including developers like From Software. So you could potentially be seeing, now at this point, most likely a lot of ports, but I bet a lot of people would love to be able to play Dark Souls 3 on the go.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would love to be able to play, Final Fantasy 15 on the go. Like, there are lots of opportunities, and I'm going to go back to what I believe, and this is the discussion we'll get into right now. I want to know what your launch lineup predictions are. Mine, just as I have them written down in front of me, obviously we're going to have Zelda. I don't think Mario will be there at launch, and I don't think it should be. I think you're spot on with Mario Kart. I think that's a great 1-2 punch, something for yourself and something for the friends and family that you can play with. But I think it would be, I mentioned this before, I think it would be awesome if they get Persona 5 on this thing at launch. If they can do that, they have the Japanese market, which, of course, they already have it on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 right now, but they have been known to buy things like Persona 3 Portable, Persona 4 Portable. They buy that stuff, Golden. They will buy that stuff again if they can play it on a train, or some people just don't want to own a home console. They don't have a TV or whatever.
Also, didn't Nintendo help out with the development of Persona Q?
You're 100% correct. They actually, I think they paid for the localization on that or something like that.
I think you're right.
They've been really good partners with Atlas over the year, and just the Shin Megami Tensei games just coming out on their platforms. And it just makes sense. Obviously, Atlas was part of those logos that were on that screen. And I think it has already been confirmed. I think it might probably not come here, but it's going to mean something in Japan with Dragon Quest X, the online version, coming out in Japan. And they already confirmed Dragon Quest XI will be coming to the NX as well, or I guess the Switch. I'm still going to say NX like we have.
Yeah,
been,
me
but,
too.
Oh,
I don't know what it is about the word Switch. It just doesn't seem like it should be following the word
Nintendo.
Do you like
the name?
I do like the name. And I think it is in part because it is so different. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not 3DS, not the Wii, it's not GameCube. It doesn't really evoke game. Like, it's not PlayStation. I like it. I like it a lot, actually. What do you think?
I agree. I can't believe, again, if you go and listen to me talk on podcasts for the last 6 months about this thing, like, I have not been hyped about it at all, but until, like, today, where they actually, you know, lifted up the veil on this stuff. I think it's a great name, and also I think it's, like, it's good short. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it on the NS.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Did you get the NS version? Yeah. Like, that's really short and sweet. It's not something that it's just like DS. So, yeah, I got the DS version. I got the NS version. Like, that's
right.
and it's easy to put on, like, video game websites are going to be very happy for cataloging the reviews, because that's a really easy thing to have on the top of the bar is NS instead of, you know, having something big. Like, they like to have those short, short things. But yeah, I really hope we see that. That would be such a huge announcement, and it would make it even, you know, more awesome that I'm going to get this thing at launch. But, you know, obviously, like we said, Zelda, Mario Kart would make a lot of sense. Persona 5, the Dragon Quest 10. But also, it's been a long time since we've seen a numbered Monster Hunter game. Like, I just don't know how much they're just going to blow this thing up, because, like, what you don't want to see, CJ, is what we saw with, you know, the consoles this past generation, even with the Wii U, the drought after launch. Like, you have a good launch, but or even like an okay launch. We saw even with a 360 and the PlayStation 3, and then the games don't really come for like a year later.
Yeah, what I think is the benefit now, Nintendo is combining their portable and home console businesses. And
it's nuts. That's so nuts.
I mean, it's in a way they've never done before. And also, they just have an unprecedented number, especially compared with Sony or Microsoft, of second-party studios. So when you think, like, their second-party studios before were split between Wii U and 3DS,
right.
Now they're going to be focusing on just one platform. Like, the software output is going to be pretty crazy, I think, and hope.
even if like you said, if we're just talking about Nintendo published games, like, you look at your wall and you put, it's not exactly the same timeline, but you put all your Wii U games and all your 3DS games next to each other, or even just like the stuff that came out post Wii U, you're like, holy shit, that's a great lineup of games. Like, you just look at the Nintendo stuff, that there are enough games to play there in a year for a normal person that isn't going to be playing games 20 hours a week. Plenty of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Outside of that, if that's what you think, you mentioned the pack in the console, you get the console, the dock, excuse me, the Joy-Cons, you get the grip, and you get a pack in game. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but let's just predict, because that's basically cost them $0 for the most part. What do you think this thing will cost?
That's a tough thing. You know, I looked at the pricing on the Nvidia Shield today, because it's kind of great, like, a comparable sort of device that's already in the market, and they're selling that for $199. And I thought, well, you know, maybe Nintendo could try that, where they just go for the mass market price. But then I started thinking, like, you know, This is going to come with a lot more things than the NVIDIA Shield does. The NVIDIA Shield...
And it
Shield,
has newer hardware in it, too.
Yeah, the Shield doesn't come with... It doesn't actually come with, like, a separate controller like the Grip would be. So, the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking, like, $299, or maybe a little bit more. I think once you get past $299, you start to lose the mass market a little bit, and you also start getting comparisons to the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Great point.
And Nintendo platforms, I think, for a lot of people, are sort of secondary platforms. They have PS4s and Xbox Ones, and then they also have a Nintendo platform. So if you get more expensive than $299, you might start to lose those people. But you actually bring up a good point. Like, you know, a lot of, if we're going to do like a Mario Kart pack in, and they showed off Splatoon as well in the video, and the footage that they showed, they had some new elements in that were not in the Wii U game. So clearly they're working on an enhanced version, or potentially a sequel to Splatoon. What if Nintendo went for broke? And I know this is kind of a crazy thing to say, but what if they included multiple pack-in games, and they just said, okay,
Zelda, like, Mario Kart?
No, not Zelda. Zelda, I think they are going to sell separately. But if they do Splatoon and Mario Kart, and, you know, maybe some Wii U games that you know, clearly nobody bought or played...
This is what you missed out on the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Include enhanced ports of those games where there's going to be something new for the Nintendo fan who already played those games, and there's going to be something really new for the people who are completely missed the Wii U. I think that could be super interesting too, especially if the price is high. If they add value through pack-ins, that could be really interesting. I don't know that they'll do that. They probably will just do one pack-in, but... And if we're talking enhanced ports, you know, the rumors over the summer were that there's Smash Brothers for the NX that's supposedly happening. And then what about Super Mario Maker? Like, that's coming out on 3DS. Yep, but totally. That is just a fantastic, fantastic game. I'm interested in seeing where this whole thing goes.
Yeah, I think $299 that's the price point. Like, if they can hit $299 with the, even if we just said one pack in, I think, well, I don't know, this is really stuff, hard stuff to predict, because you look at like experts like Michael Pachter, who like always gets the stuff wrong, and he's an expert. And you know, I'm kind of looking at this coming out in March being like really good for us, because it's not a holiday season, so it might be easier to get pre-orders for this stuff in. But I think that Nintendo has a really good recipe here. They have the, like you said, the great ability to combine their production of games into one console. They have proven technology with the NVIDIA Tegra chip. They have the incredible social aspect. Like, I think that's going to be it. It's going to be guys like, you know, people like us, CJ, that buy this thing, and then like we're going to have a social event. Like, you're going to have a birthday party, you're going to have a, you know, hey, come over and watch the football game. While we're watching the football game, yeah, I'm going to bring my Nintendo Switch out, and we can be playing like Mario Kart during the commercials or something like that. Like,
right.
That is going to be, that was the Wii U magic. That was bringing a friend over and showing them the Wii U. That was showing them something and be like, yeah, of course, I'm going to get this $299. It's nothing. Like, that's, in today's marketplace of electronics, like, that is, might as well be $0, because it really isn't a huge barrier. And you see parents that buy their kids $600 iPhones. Like, it's not, right. It's not a gigantic hill to jump over at this point. But right now we have like 4 months, like at the outset, 5 months until this thing comes out. There still is more to be talked about. We still don't know about Virtual Console. We still don't know about their, like you said, their OS or their digital delivery services, what else they're going to have on there. It's probably going to make sense to, even if we don't need them, it's probably going to make sense because every other tablet device has them, the Netflix, the Amazons, the Hulus and all that stuff, because you might as well have them anyways. But I think the big question for me right now is, and it shouldn't really matter, but it's going to be battery life. Like, if this thing can get like 6 hours of battery life, which I think it should, because we're also comparing it to other tablet devices of that size that are running that chipset, 6 to 7 hours should be doable, no problem. And if they can do that, like, this is going to be the best console ever. I'm like, this is Kevin Larrabee hyperbole, but I think, God, I can't wait to pre-order this thing. I can't wait to give them my money. And I forgot to ask you this. They're getting some kickback, people saying this thing looks ugly, but I actually love the contrast of the colors of like the space gray and the black. And I love the look of the console, and it,
yeah,
like there's no D-pad, but no problem. Like, who really needs a D-pad these days, I guess?
Yeah, and the D-pad even on like PS4 and Xbox games are generally used kind of as buttons anyway.
Exactly.
So you may as well make them buttons.
But if you need it, they're on the Pro Controller. Like, if you need to play like if they're going to have Virtual Console, if you're going to want it for a fighting game, that's what the Pro Controller is for anyways. So
And actually, that's another interesting avenue that we don't know anything about, Virtual Console on this thing. And you know it's going to be there.
Like, you know it's going to be there, and it's going to be capable of doing everything up to, you know, GameCube. If it doesn't have the motion ability, it doesn't have touch ability on that thing, that will be a problem for the Wii and the Wii U. But for everything else, or even, like, what if you could do this? What if you could also play DS games, and you could just flip it into, portrait mode?
Yeah, I think that was one of the when people were doing mock-ups, which was fantastic, by the way. I just loved those fan mock-ups. Some of them were really good. I think somebody did kind of like say, well, what if you flipped the screen this way? But the controllers, the Joy-Cons don't attach that way, which I think would make that very difficult to do, because then how would you play a 3DS game or a DS game that also used the controller in addition to the touchscreen? But yeah, that could be real interesting.
I don't know.
Real interesting.
Yeah, well, who knows? They're capable of doing some incredible magic over there. But we've already talked for an hour about this, which was twice as long as I thought we would. so we still have lots of great stuff to anticipate about this thing. If you guys are hearing this on Friday, you know, not most likely, but there could be some more news over the weekend. So you're going to make sure that you tune into the Player One podcast, where you guys record on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live at youtube.com/P1podcast. But if people cannot join you guys live, which is always fun because there's always a really good chat going on too. If you guys have the ability to hang out at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, go hang out, because there's always a bunch of people in the chat and it's always fun to jump in there. But also you can pick it up at the playeronepodcast.com and all your favorite podcast websites. Does that sound about right?
That sounds good. Yeah, you got it, Kevin.
Man, I've been doing this podcast thing for a while, so I usually have a pretty good job of teeing these things up. But outside of that, you can follow CJ on Twitter at Super Pac, just like the worst version of Pac-Man that came out in arcades. Besides, right. Baby Cat, Baby Pac is... Oh, we didn't do... Do you have time for questions from the Twitter?
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
I got time.
Okay. Sorry about this, guys. So I'm going to scroll down. We actually got a bunch of questions. So you touched on this a little bit, but James wanted to know what happens to Miiverse if there's no touchscreen or only usable non-docked and there's no stylus. That's a great point to bring up. We didn't see a stylus either.
Yeah, I don't think there will be a stylus. I do think there will be Miiverse, in part because Nintendo has continued to iterate on Miiverse even through the Wii U's life. And if it was going to be dead, they wouldn't have done anything with it. Mm-hmm. So I do think we will see that. And yeah, no stylus. I'm not concerned about that, especially if they're using a different type of touch screen technology than they did on the Wii U or the 3DS, which I forget if it's resistive or capacitive. I forget which one. I don't remember which one's which.
Right.
But there's the bad one that's used currently on the 3DS and Wii U. And then there's the good one, which is used by all Android phones and the iPhone and whatnot.
Also, we had from Sam Hall, and I think we hit on these a little bit. Are they putting all their Yoshi eggs in one basket with Switch? If this fails, they're screwed. Actually, I even completely will change my tune on what I would have thought about this 6 months ago, but due to the success of their mobile stuff, even if this does bomb, Nintendo will be just fine. They'll just make mobile games.
Yeah, I think you're right. And even if this bombs, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because Nintendo, before the Wii U, I think the Wii U was the first system they've done in a while where they were making a loss on the hardware. Mm-hmm. Nintendo generally, like, doesn't do that too often. So I don't think it'll, like, bankrupt the company or, like, put them out of business, even if the Switch fails. Like, I think they'll come back and do something else. And obviously, they're doing mobile games, so they have something there. But, I mean, they definitely have a viable business. It's not like they're going anywhere.
Right.
So I think it's definitely premature to say that this is their last hope. Because, I mean, how many years have we heard that? Like, the GameCube was the last hope. And then the Wii was their last hope. And the Wii U was kind of their last hope. And now here we are with the Switch. Like Nintendo has always been, you know, doomed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hasn't happened. And I would expect that even if this fails, they'll still be around. And hopefully, you know, like the Wii U failed, but it got so many great games for a failed hardware and platform. Like, that's one of the other things that I love about Nintendo and why I think I'm such a big Nintendo fan, is even with their failures, not including the Virtual Boy, they support them with software, with great software.
There's some good software on the Virtual Boy. Like, there's, you know, Mario Clash, you got...
It didn't last long, though. That's Whereas, true. The Wii U came out in 2012, and now it's 2016. Like, you have 4 years with a failed platform. Like, that's not something you normally see.
Yeah, it was awesome for them to do that. And like you said, I hope that they find some ways, and a lot of these games will have the ability to be upscaled or ported or whatever to the new hardware for people that weren't able to, like, just introducing Splatoon to a bunch of people would be really, really great. Let's see. So I'm just hearing from Takashi Mochizuki. Sorry, I apologize. I believe he's an analyst out in Japan. He has a Wall Street Journal technical reporter in Tokyo. Has just said, Nintendo said that the Switch would come with Joy-Con left and right, as well as dock at least. Joy-Con grip is not clear. So that would be fascinating if they don't include the grip. I think that it's like a piece of plastic with a battery in it, so I hopefully they can do it.
I hope they can do it. They may not. It may be one of those things where they don't do it in Japan, but do it in right. Western markets.
Also, you don't get a power cord with your Switch in Japan. Did you say they even did that with the classic Famicom?
I didn't include
the power cable?
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay.
I still pre-ordered mine. Thank you, Amazon Japan. What else? Okay, and we kind of hit on a couple of these, so I'm just going to hit on the ones that we didn't really hit on completely. Alex Smith said, excited, but lack of info on touchscreen support has me curious. Thoughts on Switch sans Joy-Con? And like, I think you hit on that a little bit, CJ. Like, yeah, we just don't know just yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a system without the Joy-Con. I think you're going to want to use that for most of the games. I don't think Nintendo wants to just make a tablet. But I do think there will be times where you'll need or want to use the tablet, like text entry for Miiverse or, interacting with, if Nintendo does put Mario Run on there, or Miitomo or, you know, Netflix or like anything that you normally would use a tablet for. I think hopefully they offer those things, but also, really focus on the physical buttons, because a lot of people have iPhones and tablets, and they want to try to differentiate this thing from those things. And I think that's another reason why it was really smart. They only showed people using the Joy-Cons in this video.
Mm. Yeah, good point. I think they also have the opportunity, because they have a whole warehouse full of the Nintendo GameCube, the ASCII keyboard controller from Phantasy Star Online 1 and 2. So maybe they can just pack one of those in. But you can take that thing on a plane, and actually they probably won't even let that thing through security. That's a weapon.
That's right.
Okay, I think we hit on everything. We talked about the virtual console stuff, but we'll just finish up with this. Jason Williams, big fan of both of Player One Podcast and Back in My Play. Do you think the 3DS Wii U virtual console purchases will carry over, or will they expect us to buy Super Mario Brothers for a fourth time? I added the Super Mario Brothers, but you're going to buy that anyways.
Of course I am. I mean, even though I
just
have
meant
the
that
NES.
In general, not you, but it's like, of course you're going to buy some.
Yes. I mean, the NES Mini comes out, and I'm buying that, and I own all those games anyway.
That thing's going to be so awesome.
What I think we'll see is, for virtual console, I would not be surprised if we... You know, they don't let us download those for free, but they have some sort of minimal charge, like they do on the Wii U.
Like a license for a buck or something like that?
Yeah, where you can buy the version for cheap. And I think that's fine. Like, I've heard a lot of people complain about that, but dude, it's like $2. Who cares? Yeah.
if they do something like that, it would be cool. But also... I mean, even just aside from that, I just hope that, because again, I think this would be so great. Like, think of how many great two-player games there are. Like, we're doing Sunset Riders this week. Like, that would be, so that's Konami, so it probably won't happen. But what I'm saying is, like, there's so many great two-player games that, you know, if you're able to get a really healthy, continuous virtual console library, I will buy the crap out of those games. And They have the network ID account system figured out now. They've figured it out. We've moved all of our stuff over. So at least they have that system in place so they can give us a much more, like, it's on time. Like, it's what, whatever it was. It's, you know, 10 years after the 360, Nintendo's ready for it and they're delivering right now, which is fine.
Yeah. Actually, when My Nintendo was first announced, I believe they said that it was going to have cloud saves as well. And we just haven't, like, seen any of that stuff.
Good. So yeah, good call.
I hope that that's what you, what you'll be able to have with My Nintendo. And then that makes migrating to a larger SD card even easier, or having to send your system in for service even easier, if you can just retrieve all of your saves off the cloud.
That all sounds outstanding. So I guess final question, you're pre-ordering, right?
Of course. Like, and
are you going to wait outside? Or are you going to go to Amazon? Are you going to do the midnight launch?
I don't know. Actually, I won't. I don't think I'll do a midnight launch, but I'm definitely going to try to get a pre-order. I think Nintendo, it seems like they're looking at a worldwide launch in 1 month. In a single month, which is super ambitious for one thing. But the other is, I wonder, you know, we have a holiday season coming up here. I wonder if they could, you know, do an official pre-order
smart
campaign. And
smart. I like where your head's at.
So you can get a Switch for Christmas, but it's like, you know, a gift card or something, where this is good for a Switch that comes out in March, but you'll have it, basically.
Something you can wrap up for a like as a gift and say, like, yeah, this is going to be coming whatever March 22nd. It will be there, and also in the meantime, here's a NES Classic Edition or something like that.
Right, exactly. Or if they would extend like an official pre-order type deal for people who are Wii U owners or My Nintendo members or something, like,
for those that suffered for 5 years or supported the like built into the Wii U store, have the official creator page.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. That would be amazing. Like, think about it. Like the Wii U eShop, you go in there and it's like, okay, you can pre-order.
I have no Nintendo hardware right now.
Your Switch, if you have a Wii U. And remember, they're not making any more of those consoles.
That's now, right.
So it's just going to be the Nintendo faithful. I'm going to go
to GameStop and buy a Wii U console used so I can order my Switch and then return it.
Suddenly there's a huge run on a Wii U console.
God, like, look at, they're on eBay. They're going for $400.
I think that would be awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, that would be so funny.
Really make it an event for people who have been Nintendo fans. I think that could be like a big thing. I hope they can make enough, because, like, I do think this video has been received extremely positively.
It's all, I don't know if you've seen, like, it was blowing up on, like, my Facebook. It's there has been no debate talk today. It's been all like, oh my God, did you guys see, like, what Nintendo is doing? That looks awesome.
Yeah. Like, I hope they're able to make enough of them. And I hope they're able to get them to Nintendo faithful that, you know, bought the Wii U and stuck with that, and I'm definitely pre-ordering, really, no matter what the price. I mean, unless it's like $600, but I don't imagine that it will be.
No way.
I'm all over it. I'm all over whatever games they want to do. I'm all over rebuying Splatoon and Smash Brothers and Mario Maker, like anything they want to do, I'm on board.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think $349, $299, whatever. Don't worry about it. Pre-order. Take my credit card. I'm gonna get Zelda. I'm gonna get a couple launch games and be good to go. And again, hats off to Nintendo. They totally delivered.
They nailed it. Crazy way. And it was funny because yesterday, I don't know if you saw, I was complaining on Twitter, like. This is enough. Like, because all the rumors.
Because everyone was freaking out, yeah.
I mean, it's sort of been like this since September, where there have been threads on NeoGAF where it's like, oh, today's the day. Today's the day. And oh my God, there was this Fangxiety thread on NeoGAF that I just loved, where it was like over 100-page thread with no information, just people like pining for a 10 a.m. Eastern announcement. And when they finally, when they finally got it, I was happy, but I tweeted beforehand. I was like, this is enough. Like, this just got out of control. And then later that day, they announced the video was dropping, and I thought, all right, maybe Nintendo's on top of this thing. Maybe they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and they it, well, like, I mean, there was that leak from Eurogamer, but other than that, there was like we didn't know pictures of it leaked out. The video itself didn't leak out. I mean, Nintendo's always been like they probably have been the best of the big three in terms of making sure that rumors do not get out before events, and that was. It was good. It made for a really fun day on social media and on news and stuff like that. So,
definitely.
Now we just got to start a new thread and wait for 5 months until this thing comes out. But
yeah, now the drip of information will begin. And I guess we'll get some more next week when there's an investor meeting. We might hear some more details. And I'm sure Nintendo has a calendar of marketing beats that they'll be hitting every so often to get people excited and... I'm excited.
I think we are all excited because Nintendo deserves to come back to the forefront, and the time is right. The console space is very healthy, but I think there is a severe lack of Nintendo. You know what I mean? Like, there's a severe lack of, like, they do something that the other platform holders do not do. They do something that the third parties do not do, and it'll be great to, God, again, it's the charge shot, man. I know they're just ready to let go. There's so many great things coming.
What, are you confirming that there's going to be a Metroid for Switch? Is that your charge shot? Is that
actually, I was poking around asking people about Metroid stuff the other day, and Retro has been really quiet, but what I've heard is that they're not working on Metroid, which is...
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country Returns.
We'll get it eventually. We'll get it eventually. It'll be fine. You're going to get
Nintendo has lots of faith in it.
All of the Nintendo classics that you love, you will eventually play again. So it'll be fine.
Think about just like, what if we got like a really sick, gritty reboot of Ice Climber? Like the Ice Climber. Like it's like the Tomb Raider from Wii U.
Oh, that's your awesome. Wii U pack. That's your Switch pack in right there.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Actually.
Don't even go with that. Go Urban Champion. That's the reason why Urban Champion's not on the NES Classic Mini. It's going to be on the Switch launch title.
Switch launch title. We're packing it in. It's like we get a big, like, awesome midnight launch. We have a partnership with like RC Cola. That's probably what they're going to go with. They're not going to be able to get the Mountain Dew because that's already tied up with Call of Duty. But RC Cola. It's a great brand. Royal Crown. Right.
That's right. Can't get any better than that.
And also just final thing, I played a little bit of Final Fight 3 tonight. It's not that bad. It's okay. Good music. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode, which has now gone an hour and 20 minutes. So that's important stuff. We have to talk about this stuff, and that's why we are here. And hopefully you guys are really excited too. Let us know by sending us tweets at SuperPack. For CJ, I am at Kevin Larrabee and at Back in My Play. If you have any feedback on the show, it's always great to hear from the people that are listening to this show every single week. And I think you guys are going to get two episodes in 2 days because this is no way this is going to be attached to the Sunset Riders. This is a separate show. So thank you so much to everyone that is tuning in this week. Don't forget to check out the Player One Podcast Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, youtube.com/P1Podcast. You can join them live and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. CJ, thank you so much for hanging out tonight and talking about, I can't believe we're saying it, the Nintendo Switch. Can't wait.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Kevin. This is fantastic. Back in My Play, best podcast ever.
Whoa, I don't think we're gonna go there. We'll maybe we'll say Dignation, best podcast ever. We'll see you next week.